Good evening and welcome to Agar Meditation. Today we will talk about fear and its connection with food. Food is one of the addictions that we develop early on, and it's connected with survival or the fear of losing health, the fear of depleting health, the fear of losing something valuable. And so we develop this addiction of food, which slowly causes other symptoms. One of the major symptoms that is affecting humanity is diabetes, obesity, and so many other food related issues. But they are rarely connected with food. But you would see that when these diseases or illnesses take root, the first advice that the patients receive from the doctors, from the therapists, from the nutritionists is to correct the food pattern. A little importance is given to food. So fear is the main reason why people are connected to this addiction of food. Food is one of the simplest invisible addiction that we carry within us. We do not require the amount of food that we consume. However, the minimum number of times we consume food is 3, and it goes higher than that. And today it's important for us to explore this domain of food versus fear, primarily because we need to disconnect from fear and disconnect from its effect on food. So what I ask you to do today is to simply observe. When you eat your food, I ask you to observe whether you're hungry or whether it's a craving. This is one of the simplest tests that we can do to ourselves. This time, 5 p.m., 5:30, is a time when people usually develop a craving in their stomach. There's an emptiness in the stomach. There's a movement of gas in the stomach, which is misconceived, wrongly perceived as hunger, and many people reach out to food to fill their bellies. But this is a time when no one should eat. This is the time when people should just sit out and enjoy the evening without indulging in anything to do with eating. It's only after sunset or before 4 o'clock that we must enjoy the activity of eating, provided we are hungry. If you're not hungry, do not indulge with food. So why fear and food? Survival is one of the critical components of our existence. We have learned some wrong lessons as survival of the fittest, and without struggle and pain, there's no gain. We have learned some wrong lessons, which causes us to pacify ourselves even before we begin to work. We try to pacify ourselves by eating. And after eating, we believe that now we have the energy. In many cases, I have seen that they have just eaten food and immediately feel that they have the energy. And the reverse also happens. When you eat food, you suddenly feel so drained of energy that you go off to sleep. Either ways, what is important is that there is this connection between need for energy and food. Just by eating food, you will not get energy. The food has to get processed. The food has to get digested. The food has to get assimilated. The food has to enter our bloodstream and reach the cells. Only then we will get energy. And that takes several days. It does not happen within a few hours. So eating food and believing that now you have the energy is a notion that has no standing. So next time you want energy, do not think that if I eat, I will get energy. Your body needs to digest it, process it, assimilate it, and send it to all the cells. And they need to absorb it. And then the cells need to get energized. Then you get the energy. So it's important for you to understand that food is not as simply processed as you think it is. So there's no need for you to directly reach out for food every 6 hours. In many cases, I've asked, why do you eat? They say that the last time I ate was 6 hours ago. But that does not prove anything. Eating once every 6 hours does not justify your hunger. So food and fear, this is a connection that we need to understand. So now I'll take you through a small example, a small experiment. I want you to think of your favorite food, whether it is a dish that is prepared, a sweet, or whether it is a salty or sour or pungent, whatever the taste of the food, whatever the dish. Imagine the dish in front of you. You're sitting in front of a table, and on the table, your favorite dish is placed. Look at the dish. Imagine the aroma of the dish. Imagine the steaming of the dish. Or if it is something that is served cold, imagine the cold fumes coming up. And while eating, while observing, just notice what happens to your salivary glands. What happens to your salivary glands? Some of you might not be able to pick a favorite dish, so you can pick the dish that you have most regularly. So here's a question. How many of your salivary glands secreted saliva? How many of you felt the saliva in your mouth? Okay, now I want you to imagine the dish in front of the and ask yourself, do I need this now? Ask yourself, do I need this dish now? And after you ask, observe your body. Does it gravitate towards the food or does it move away from the food? So you're asking the body, do I need this food? Do not ask so many times that your mind actually answers yes. Just ask once, or at the maximum twice, just observe. All right. So now tell me, how many of your bodies actually move towards the food? How many of your bodies moved away from the food? How many of your bodies were neutral, either going towards or going away? This is one of the ways of knowing whether the body needs food or not. So by looking at the food first, your salivary glands salivated. But then when you asked, do I need this food, the body actually swayed away from the food, which means that the body does not require it. The mind requires that food. So next time you want to eat something, you just ask, do I need this food? The body, if it moves away, it just takes a second, but the body moves away, it sways away from the food, then it's best to not consume the food because the body does not require it. You will not lose health when you give up food, a particular meal or a particular dish, but you'll definitely suffer when you do consume the dish, when your body actually does not need it. All right, there's a very simple test that we can do. To just fill our space, right energy. The reason why we have to investigate, why is it that we have fear? What is this fear about? But as long as we are not addressing the fear, our addiction will continue. If it's not food, it's maybe coffee or tea or something else. Anything that you can get addicted to primarily happens because you are afraid. What you're afraid of is what we need to investigate. Now, how do we do that? We actually do the mindful meditation, which is a very simple process, very simple answer to all kinds of things, to find out where is the crack, to find out where is the healing. You need to find out where the problem is to find it out. The mindful meditation is a powerful practice. Anyone here who does not know the Maypole meditation? It's available on the Agar Healing website. It's available to all of you. So you can start practicing the Maypole and ask, what is the fear that I'm still holding on to? What is the fear that I'm holding on to? So if you will not, the answer will not come straight. The answer will come crooked, which means that you have to ask so many ways and finally the answer will come. So recently we discovered a new way of doing Nirmukta Chikitsa. It's again one of the ways to reduce the intensity of feelings. And when we're talking about feelings, we're also talking about fear. Fear is one of the feelings that we need to mitigate, we need to reduce, because fear can cause us to control or cause us to get addicted to something. So we must neither control nor get addicted. And the best way is to release whatever emotions and feelings that we are carrying so that we can improve upon ourselves. So if you will, you could all get a piece of paper, if you can, and a pen. Or if you're using a notebook, you can definitely write on one of the sheets, but make sure that you tear the sheets and throw them after doing this exercise. So once you have gotten this paper and pen, just give a hands up, show a raise of hand, so that we know that we are ready. Let's take about 5 minutes break for each one of us to get our handy paper and pen. Give a show of hands once you've got your paper and pen. I think most of us have got the paper and pen now. So I'll teach you a new method, new way of doing the Niramukta Chikitsa. Earlier, what used to happen is when people wanted to write, nothing would come in the mind. And they would struggle. I'm not sure if anyone faked it, but I'm sure you would have tried your best to make it happen when nothing happened. So here is a method of doing it. You start writing all the positives about yourself. I am handsome, or I am beautiful, I am well dressed, my hair is well kept, I have washed my face and I feel fresh, I have decorated myself well, I have applied cream or whatever. So you can go on writing. As you keep writing the positives, the mind will slowly start speaking the negatives. When that happens, pull that, start writing whatever comes in the mind, and write at the pace at which the thoughts are being produced. All right? And then we'll revisit the food. So I'll give you 5 minutes to do this practice. Is there anyone who has it understood? Do I have to repeat? You can show me hands if you have not understood. Okay, great. So let us do this practice. Put the pen to paper and start writing for about 5 to 7 minutes. I will tell you when to stop. Your time starts now. All right. You can stop writing now. So now I want to know how many of you were able to catch the mind producing negative thoughts. Just show your hand, raise of hand. And how many of you, I'm just going to lower your hands. And how many of you, how many of you believe that you no longer had negative thoughts? Show your hand again. How many of you believe that you no longer had negative thoughts, but now found that you had negative thoughts? Good. This is one of the things that we noticed recently, one of the methods of doing Nirmukta Chikitsa. And now let's connect back to food as an addiction. Now go back to your favorite dish. I want you to go back to your favorite dish. Sitting on the dining table, you are watching the favorite dish in front of you. Observe it and let me know if you still have the same kind of saliva coming out of your mouth while you're seeing this either hot steaming dish or a cold refrigerated disc. Whatever the temperature, whatever the dish, when you look at it, tell me, do you still feel the same kind of urge? How many of you have saliva coming out of your mouth now? When you focus on your favorite dish. All right, so how many of you are now unmoved by the dish? How many of you are just observing it and nothing is happening? Excellent, excellent. Food provides nutrition to the body. It does not support our fear. It is not for enjoyment. It is not for pleasure. Food is for nutrition to the body. And when you do not understand that and you try to use food to conceal your fear, then the body begins to suffer. This is one of the reasons why so many people are sick. So many hundreds and thousands of people are sick only because they're eating to conceal their fear. And fear is one of the most debilitating emotions after anger. Anger is the first most debilitating emotions. Fear is the next most debilitating emotion. Of course, anger and fear are two sides of the same coin. So today's meditation was primary, today's practice of satsang was primary to focus on the connection between fear and food addiction. If you feel like you want to eat three meals a day, you're addicted to food. Your body does not require food three times a day. Because of the amount of the limitation of exercise that you do, the limited amount of exercise that you do, your body does not require that kind of food. You have to restrict your body from the cravings, and that you can do by just observing food and just asking the body, do I really need this? If the body needs it, it will gravitate towards the food. If your body does not need it, it will move away from the food. Food will be a repulsion to it. And this is something that you can follow. It's important for us to follow because all kinds of spiritual practices have got to do with eating food in a spiritual manner, which means that you need to food, or you need to eat food only when you need it, only when the body needs it, not when you, the body, mind, ego, needs it. We don't even need to taste it if the food is not meant for us. But once we put our fingers to it, the next time we get up is only when we finish the food. So it's important for us to understand the difference between food addiction and fear. This directly impacts and influences the spiritual practice. Addictions, fears, always weaken your spiritual practice. So if you want to be on a spiritual high, then make sure that you are addressing your addictions. Slowly get rid of the addiction. It may not seem apparent, but it is real. Food addiction is real, and it has to do with fear. So instead of curbing your food addiction, first identify the fear and work on it by releasing the fear. It's only when you release the fear that hunger will set in the stomach. But as long as you allow these cases to allow the fear to take seat, take precedence over you, then you have a problem. Are there any questions? Is it clear? Are there any questions? All right. So it's good. Yes, Inoshi. Please unmute.
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Mahesh.
Good evening.
So, you know, if there are some days, like you said, when, you know, all of a sudden we feel the craving for sweet or for coffee, So what would you suggest is a good practice? Because now that we know it is fear or anger, and mostly it's the same thing, it would be fear of something, right? Yes. So should we on that particular day write down, like we've just done this exercise? Would that help?
Absolutely. Reason to reach out to chocolate is more because you're frustrated, not because you're afraid. Fear will cause you to gorge on food. Anger attracts sweets, chocolates, something that you want to munch on to immediately provide satisfaction to the mind. And so that time you can just sit down and just do the practice of appreciating yourself. You'll find it difficult to appreciate yourself when you are upset. And then when you do try to appreciate, the mind will quickly start jumping with its own barrage of thoughts. And then you can pull it and start writing them down. And you will see within a span of 2 to 3 minutes, the craving will die down, the stress will die down, and you will again be calm. It's important because many of you who may not have the habit of reaching out to chocolates or something else won't understand the gravity of this craving. It can be so maddening. If you don't find the chocolate, it can really drive you mad and drive you to become impatient and irritable. So it's important for you to realize that this is a practice that can help. Actually, I want you to ask more and more people to do this practice. If you can promote this practice, get people to release their fear, release their frustration, instead of reaching out to food, you can save so many people from falling sick. They will not fall sick when they just consume one meal, but they are sure driving their body towards illness every time they consume a meal. And the body does not have unending threshold at some point the body is just going to give in. And that's when you will see that no matter what you do, the numbers are not coming down. No matter what you do, health is not regaining in the body. So instead of reaching that pinnacle of ill health, it is important for us to take stock and start practicing and mitigating the fears and the anger so that we can regain our health. Are there any other questions? All right. So we are addressing all these emotions in the last session. We addressed another practice. In this session also, we are addressing fear. In the next few sessions, I would want to address emotions as one of the prime drivers of our health or the lack of it. So you have to catch these emotions as they rise so that you don't have to go all the way in expressing and exhibiting them and losing your health. So awareness is one thing that can catch you from getting angry, getting upset, or getting fearful. That awareness can come from your meditations, which you have participated or you have visited the Agar Healing website. So all those meditations can help you just become an observer. And when you observe, you can catch your emotions early and prevent yourself from falling sick. So that's all for today. Thank you so much for attending. If you have any questions, do text me. And please share this practice with more people. Do it first so you can understand how it helps you. Do it repetitively for a few days. And when you realize that this is something which does help you, then you can share it with others. If you need any clarifications, please post in the group so that I can help you. Thank you so much for attending to this session. Have a beautiful weekend and have a beautiful week ahead.